Morning. The today's daf in the Durham is daf Ayin. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as the Echonish Maslib Gabriela Bashmuel. We're in the middle of the 10th parak of the Masech. A series of questions that are posed regarding the nature of Hakama and Hafara. Just quickly to recap some of the larger points that we've been discussing. The Torah gives the power to both the father of a girl who's either Katana or Nara, or the husband of a woman, regardless of what her age is, to be made for neder, to annul a neder. They hear the neder, and they're given one day from the time that they hear the neder to annul the neder. The three options of what they could respond to a neder is either, number one, they could be mekayim, they could simply say, like what I heard, good, keep it up. Keep up the good work. Two, Hafara, they know I don't like what I hear, and he can annul the neder. Or number three, he can remain silent, and ultimately, after the day is come and gone, so his silence is viewed as acquiescence, so it's a de facto kiyum. Those are the three responses that we could have. But the Gemara yesterday, given that there are three options, so the Gemara asked a number of questions in terms of some of the interplay of some of these options. So yesterday, some of the difficult questions that were asked by the Gemara, difficult in terms of just even conceptualizing how these cases work. The Gemara talked yesterday about making a hakama based on hafara, right? A contingency where the only way the hakama is going to work is if the hafara works. Or let's say a man comes at his wife and he says, I want to be both mekim and be mefer. I want to do both. Obviously, they're obviously opposite reactions. So yesterday, the Gemara dealt with a complement of different discussions regarding how to view if any interaction between the hakama and the hafara. Good, so those are the questions that we dealt with yesterday. The Gemara is going to continue along this line by Rabba. We're on Samach Tesamud Beis, we're on the bottom of the Amud, three lines from the bottom of the page. By Rabba, Kaim Lechi Hayom Mahu. What if the man says to his wife, again, or it could be father to the daughter, either way, he says, Kaim Lechi Hayom, I want to sustain the neder today. Okay, so again, we know that upon hearing the news that his wife or daughter made a neder, so he's on the clock. And we also know that he has till the end of the day in order to make a... He has a full day in order to make a decision. And here, what he does is he says, I want to be mekayimit for you. I want to sustain the neder, but hayom, but today. Now that's unusual because usually the response is going to be, I'm going to be mekayim. That's it. In other words, I'm approving it. I'm ratifying the neder. Good. But over here, he throws in the word kayim lecha hayom. I want to be mekayim for you today. So what could he possibly mean by that? So the Gemara goes on to say, so could it be that in essence what he's saying is that I'm going to sustain it today, meaning I'm tolerating it today, but tomorrow I'm annulling it. Is that maybe what he means? Or on the other hand, that's only an implicit statement. He didn't say that. He did say the word today, and obviously the word today, you can make implication from the word today, but I'm glad you can make implication. He didn't say it. All he said was, I want to be mekayimit today. So the Gemara's question over here is, do we assume that there is an implied statement, and do we go with the implied statement? That's the Gemara's question. What's interesting, however, and built into this question is the following. Look at what the implication is. I'm going to be mekayimit today, which means that tomorrow I'm going to be mefer. Now, isn't tomorrow just a little too late? Meaning, given that we know the basics, is that you have a full day to make a commitment either one or two directions. Either you're going to sustain it, or you're going to annul it, or you're going to be quiet, and the silence is going to be a de facto kiyum. So over here, he's saying, I'm going to be mekayim today, and implied in that statement is, but tomorrow I'm going to be made for it. And the question we're going to ask now is, isn't tomorrow just a little too late? So... Take a look at the Ran on the bottom of the Amud. So Klamar, the Ran goes on to write, Dekaim lechude lav klamhu. Velechu shekulam shteim ka'achas. Sorry. That is the Ran on the previous discussion. Last Ran on the Amud. Okay, sorry. Last lines of the Ran. By Rabba Kim Lechayom Ahu Miyamin Kaman Damar Mufar Lechum Meche. Lechin Lamacha. Dehachi Kamar Kaim Lechayom Bilvad. Odilma Halo Amar Lamufar Lechin Lamacha. So again, so the Ran just simply says that the question over here is there's an implied statement. Clearly there's an implied statement. And do we go with the implied statement? But to the question that I asked, isn't tomorrow too late? And even if the implied statement is, well, tomorrow I'm going to annul it, tomorrow seems to be a little bit too late. So on that, let's take a look together at the Rush. The Rush writes, Odil Mahalo Amar Mefil Lachi. The previous, I'm sorry. The Parish of Rush. By Rabbi Kim Lechi Hayoma, whom I'm in command, Amr Mufalech Lamachadami. Okay, here we go. The Imlo came, the Rush goes on to write. Amai Amr Hayom. In other words, he added the extra word hayom, and therefore it gives us an opportunity to be medaktek. Hayom ye kayam, alavamacha ye mufar. Okay, and here we go. Three critical words of the Rush. The hizchel hafara mehayom. And he laid the groundwork for hafara today. Right? So you see what the Rush is doing? The Rush is bothered basically by this question. Meaning, how can you do hafara tomorrow? Tomorrow's too late. So the Rush is suggesting, and within the Gemara's question, and it's funny, it's like a really big chiddush, and it's like embedded in the question. The Gemara doesn't even spell this out. But embedded in the question is that hafara and kiyum have to be done today. But it doesn't have to materialize today. In other words, the process of either one of them have to start today, even though it actually comes into fruition at a later point in time. Meaning, so when I say I'm mekayim today, today I'm tolerating your neder. Okay, good. Today I like your neder. So embedded in that statement is, but tomorrow I'm not going to like it, and tomorrow I'm going to be made for it. And let's ask the question, tomorrow it's too late. The Rush is basically saying, yeah, tomorrow is too late. But I didn't start the hafara process tomorrow. I actually started the hafara process today. By clearly stating today, I'm ready to tolerate it. And implied in that statement is, and tomorrow I'm not going to tolerate it, and tomorrow I'm going to be made fair. So really, the process of hafara started today. And because the process started today, so therefore, it will work even tomorrow. Okay, so again, there's the Gemara's question, and embedded in the Gemara's question is this understanding that even as long as the process starts that today, so that would work for tomorrow as well. So again, the Gemara asks the question. This is Rabbi's question. So Odima Halo Amala Imtim Salama. We're now in the very top of Ayin Amad Aleph, and the Gemara says Imtim Salama. Now we're used to this style. The Gemara style over here is a very popular style, popular within the Gemara, and that is that the Gemara raises a question, doesn't directly answer the question, but basically says, now let's assume. Okay, let's work with an assumption. So in other words, question, let's assume one side of the question, and now that we're in that one side of the question, so now let's go one step further. And you'll see the Gemara does this style very often. This is what's called Imtim Salomar, if you're going to say. And generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, whenever the Gemara operates with this kind of style, so the Rambam says, we're going to basically plot along the Gemara, and every time the Gemara made an assumption about the previous question, the Rambam says that's going to be the general halacha. That's generally how the Rambam learns this pattern of Gemara when the Gemara goes into Imtim Salomar. So we're on the top of Ayin Amad Aleph, Imtim Salomar Halo Amarla. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, now, let's say, on the previous question, we don't imply a statement. Meaning, the husband said, today I'm going to tolerate it. He didn't follow up with, and tomorrow I'm not tolerating it. It's implied in the statement, but he didn't say it. So the Gemara says, so let's not go with implication. Let's just simply go with what he said. He said, today I'm a kayim. Good. So, halo amarla. Amarla mufar lechi lamachar mahu. Okay, so the Gemara says, good. So now let's advance the question one step further. So let's say he says it. So let's say his first statement is, today, I love your neder. I'm great. Tomorrow, I'm going to be made for it. So me, I'm in lamach lamachli made for the hakayim la nidre hayom. So now, in this next stage of the Gemara's question, so here are the two sides of the issue. On one hand, he gave his certification of the neder for the entirety of today, which is his. That's his deadline. His deadline is till the day's over. Odilma came into lo amar la. Kiyam lechi hayom, ki kamar le mufar lech lamachar mehayom kamar. On the other hand, the Gemara says, by virtue of the fact that he says that tomorrow I'm going to annul the neder, so basically what he's essentially saying is that I really am not happy with this neder. Now, granted, I did say, my first statement was, for the remainder of today, I'm going to be mekayim the neder. I'll certify the neder for the day. But really, comes tomorrow and that's it. And the Gemara basically says that maybe encrypted in that second statement is the idea that this neder is really intolerable, although I'll tolerate it for a little bit. But it's really intolerable. And so really fundamentally he wants to be made for the neder. Okay. The Imtim Salomar. Here we go. The Gemara now is going to ask the next question based on an assumption. The Imtim Salomar Afil Hachikev and the Kimayom Lamacher Kaman the Isei Dami. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's assume now that even in the previous question where he said, I'm going to be Mekayim the Nedar Ayom, but tomorrow I'm going to be made for the Nedar, the Gemara says, let's assume that the Nedar is still going to be certified. Why? Because again, for the balance of today, he was Mekayim the Nedar. Once the day has come to an end, the Nedar is sustained. Even though he forecasted that tomorrow I'm not ready to tolerate the Nedar, and he says it, but still, when all said and done, the Nedar is Mekuyam, the Nedar has been certified. So the Gemara now goes one step further in this questioning. Kiyam lechi sha'amahu. Okay, so now let's get a little more exciting with these questions. What if he says, I'm going to be Mekayim the Nedar for 1 hour? Okay, and now obviously this becomes a more exciting question, and the fact that it's not there's still more time on the clock after his certification. His certification, the Nedar for 1 hour, is obviously a very temporary certification. And after that 1 hour has expired, there's still more time left on the clock for him to make some sort of decision. So, So here, can we now make the argument that if I'm tolerating the Nedar for 1 hour, and I say I'm certifying the Nedar for 1 hour, can't there be even a clear implication that the second hour from now, that's it? I'm done with the neder. Or the Gemara says, on the other hand, once again, he didn't say it. It's only an implied statement. And so the Gemara says, so let's now go one step further in the questioning. Imtim Salomar. Here we go once again. So let's suggest Halo Amarla. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to say, like we said earlier, there is no implied statement. And therefore, if he said, I'm certifying it for an hour without saying anything else, so the neder is certified. Halo Amarla. Miu Amarla Mai. So the Gemara says, so here we go now with the final version, but the final step in this questioning. So let's say he says, okay, as confusing as this is, for the first hour, I certify the neder. For the second hour, I'm going to be made for the neder. Mi amrina kevin de kimu kimu. So on one hand, he did certify the neder, albeit for a temporary period of time, but he did certify the neder. Odima kevin de kula yuma bar hakama uvar afaruhu. Ki amar mufelech lach hasha mahani. On the other hand, says the Gemara, we could also make the argument that, look, he's got a full day to make a decision. So he's entitled to waffle. On one hand, he could start off by saying, the first hour I'm going to certify, the second hour I'm going to annul it, and because he's given the full day, so maybe we'll entertain the idea that he's going to go back and forth on his decision. And even though he says, I'm certifying it for an hour, but then he's also entitled to say, but I'm going to annul the second hour. So the Gemara now basically, finally, in these series of questions, finally has now reached an end of the questions. So again, question number one, let's just quickly back up and review. Question number one is Mekayim it for the whole day? He says, I'm going to be Mekayim it Hayom. So that was question number one. The Gemara says, let's assume that works, even though there's an applied statement. Question number two, I'm Mekayim it Hayom and made for tomorrow. The Gemara on that also says, he was Mekayim it for the day. His statute of limitations is up. His deadline is over. The Nedr is Mekuyam. So the Gemara says, what if he says, I want to Mekayim it for an hour without saying anything else? There's an implied statement that after an hour, I'm done with this Nedr. Gemara says, okay, but that's only an implied statement. And finally, the Gemara questions, well, what if he says, I'm Mekayim it for an hour and then Mefer it for an hour? Okay, that's the Gemara's final question. And again, on one side, we can argue that he certified the Nedr, done. Nedr's now been ratified. On the other hand, he said, I'm only certifying it for an hour. And then he also said, and then afterwards, I know myself. I'm not going to tolerate the Nedr after an hour. I'm annulling it after an hour. So do we say then that he has the ability to waffle and to vacillate within his day's time? Right now the Gemara is just assuming this is all he said. And can he go back and forth even more? Maybe, perhaps. But right now the Gemara wants to know where do we stand on these issues. So the Gemara says, let's see. So ki amar mufar lechi la'achasha mahani tashma. Okay, so on this last question, the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. We're going to quote a Mishnah. Mishnah Nazir, next Masechta coming up in the Daf. Hareini Nazira. Woman declares herself to be a Nazir. Right? Can a woman be a Nazir? It's not a question. Of course, the answer is yes. The Pasuk in Parshas Nazir starts off with Ish O Isha. It's like one of those things where, like, oh, let me think about it. There's nothing to think about. The Torah says that a man or a woman can become a Nazir. So, Tashma, I think the most popular Nazirim in Tanakh are men. I don't think there's one personality in Tanakh that's a woman Nazir. I don't think so. But in Mishnayos and Gemara, you'll see. When we do Masechta Nazir, there are women who are Nazirim. The mother of Shimshon, oh, did she, was she told, right, he was told to be a Nazir, she also?
Yeah, that
maybe. Right. Correct. Okay, maybe that's a good one. Okay, so Tashma Hareini Nazira. So the woman declares herself to be a Nazir, Ushama Bala. Now remember, declaration of Nazir is basically a neder. Okay, we learned that day one of our Masechta. It's basically a neder. It's somewhere between a neder and a shvua. Neder's on an object, shvua's on a person. Nazir, kind of somewhere in the middle. But either way, let's put it simply. The husband has a right to annul his wife's neder if she declares herself to be a Nazir. And so the Mishnah over here discusses Hareini Nazira. So she says, I'm going to be a Nazir. And Ushma Ba'ala, Vishama Ba'ala, and her husband hears, V'amar V'ani. And the husband has one simple response, one word response. Va'ani. Yeah, me too. Love it. Love the idea. So, Ein Yachol Lahafer. So, the Mishnah tells us that once he says, and I do as well, so then he can't annul the neder. Now, the Gemara is going to pause for, well, no. He can't be made for his wife's neder, meaning, of course, he can be charat on his own.
Why can't he have a charat on his
kiyum? On his kiyum, okay, yeah, he could do that as well. But and then after the charat on his kiyum, then he's going to go and be made for the neder. But anyway, but the point we're making very simply is that the word vani is in fact understood as a kiyum. Good. Via my name of vani damer hu al nafshei da havi nazir. So the Gemara says, well, what does he mean with the word vani? Now, I know it's only one word, so how much, it's really a contraction of two words, but how much can you make of the word va'ani? So the Gemara says, on one hand, all he's basically saying is, yeah, me too. Love the idea, I'm going to be a Nazir. Ava hareini nizira dila d'sha'achas kaimi la'achas shayi by lefer amayen yachol ha'afir. So the Gemara says, but in terms of the implication regarding his wife, meaning, and this is an assumption the Gemara is making, and the Gemara is obviously going to change, it's going to turn on the assumption, but the Gemara right now is assuming the following. When he says the word va'ani, look, as far as he's concerned, he's making a commitment to be a Nazir. That's clear. His wife just became a Nazir, he learns the news, he says va'ani. So clearly, there's nothing to call into question. He clearly wants to become a Nazir, he's accepting it upon himself. Gemara says that's great. But what is he saying regarding his wife's acceptance of the Nazir? So the Gemara now is assuming is that what he's saying is, right, you did a great job, right? Good work by you. But what the Gemara, however, starting off as the assumption point is that, not that he's actually certifying and ratifying and saying, I'm a Kaimir Neder, but like, for the moment, I like the idea so much that I'm going to take it on myself. But I'm not certifying it for you for the remainder of today. I'm just certifying it for, let's say, an hour. And again, I'm just giving an amount of time. For a temporary period of time, and during the temporary period of time, I like the idea so much, I'm going to copy that idea. But it's not that he's certifying it for the balance of the day.
But isn't it stump zero, though?
No. But we're not talking about the duration of the Naziris. We're talking about how we understand the Va'ani as an approval of the of her neder.
You're saying it is like a limited time approval.
Yeah, that's what the Gemara is going to change on that. But right now, that's what the Gemara is suggesting is the way we're going to understand his approval. And the Gemara says, and if that's the way we understand the approval, so then at least now we have clarity on one of the issues. So the Gemara. right? Again, based on that assumption. So, Ibai Lefer Amayin Yochel Hafer La Mishum Dekev Dekimu Kimu. And the Gemara says, and meanwhile, even though his approval was a temporary approval, let's say it was only for an hour, nevertheless, isn't the Gemara now making the point that a temporary approval is considered an approval, and therefore it's not subject to hafara? Again, all this is built on assumption, and the Gemara says, lo. Gemara says, no, the assumption is wrong. Kasava kova ani kamanda amra kiyam laichila olam damim. And the Gemara says, and really, this is, I think, more intuitive, you can argue, but when he says va'ani, what he's really doing is, he's giving her not a temporary, kind of short-term, like, oh, you know what, let me think about this, a good idea. No, when he says the word va'ani, it's a clear indication that that was a great idea, I'm totally on board, and as far as my kiyum is concerned, as far as my approval is concerned, you have my absolutely, right, undivided approval of that which you did. I give you a total thumbs up, meaning not for now, not for an hour, but really, you know, for the foreseeable future, I think this is a great idea. So the Gemara says we're going to change on that assumption, and considering that now that the word va'ani means not that I approve it for an hour, but I approve it, period. So now we have it sheds no light on the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, when a husband gives a 1 hour approval, is that considered now an approval, period, done, not subject to change later on? Or no, the Gemara says no, maybe not. Maybe if he says, I approve it for an hour, so because he has a full day to make a decision, so therefore he can change his mind after an hour. So the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. So again, the Gemara asks the series of questions, one built on top of another. Imtim Salama was the style of the Gemara. Gemara thought to answer at least one of the questions using a Mishnah Nazir, and the Gemara ended up not being able to use this Mishnah as a Nazir.
Does this mean that a husband can be made for a wife's Shavua?
Yeah, in other words, presumably. Presumably the ability of Hafara works for both Neder and for Shvu. It certainly seems that way. This next mission we're about to start, we're on Ayin Amud Aleph, we're at the bottom of the Amud. Next mission we are going to begin as a Mishnah that we have seen earlier, just a couple of days ago. We discussed this Mishnah, Meitha'av, Lo Nitzrak Mishos Labal. So remember, we just talked about how a woman can have two supervisors, if you will, over her nedarim. In other words, a girl who has a father who's not married has her father being the Baal HaNeder, he's the owner of the Neder, so to say, in which any Neder she makes is subject to his Afara. A woman who is fully married to a husband has her husband as being the Baal HaNeder, being the owner of the Neder, and that Neder is subject to the husband's approval. And then we started off with Nara Marasa. We start off the parak, I should say, with Nara Marasa. And Nara Marasa is the idea that she is still a Nara, meaning she is not a Bogeres, so she has not left the domain of her father. She is Mu'uraseh, that she means that she's married to a man, but only stage one, which means that she has not left the domain of her father. So therefore, there is joint ownership of her neder between her husband and her father. And the Gemara points out that Mesa Avlon is Rokhna Rishos Abal, that if the father dies, so the father's rights does not go over to the husband. Mesa Baal Nisroktim Rishos Av. But if the husband dies, so the husband's rights are all going to go to the father. So you remember, we did this a couple days ago, right? The somewhat complex Gemaras on Samech Chesamad Beis, leading us to the top of Samech Chesamad Aleph, goes through the series of permutations of examples of basically where we see that they had joint ownership of her Nedarim, and then one of them died under certain circumstances, right? We had five different permutations, but one of them died, and basically the point we kept repeating, and it's all based on this one Mishnah, is that the husband's ownership, so to say, of her nedarim can be transferred over to the father, but not vice versa. The father's ownership cannot be transferred over to the husband, and then it leads the Mishnah to the obvious point. So, yafek kawach ha'av mi kawach ha'bal. So, you see now that as far as the strength of the father, it surpasses the strength of the husband. The father can inherit the husband's ownership, but the husband cannot inherit his father-in-law's ownership. So, like I said a couple of days ago, we talked about a partnership, but really we're talking about a senior partner and a junior partner. Meaning the father is, both literally and figuratively, the senior partner, and the husband is the junior partner. And so therefore, they're just words I'm throwing around, but the idea of being trying to be communicated is exactly what this Mishnah says. Good. B'davar acher yafik koach habal mikoach av. However, the Gemara points out that this is not an absolute. Meaning in other areas of Nedarim, you see that the husband's power surpasses that of the father's power. Shabbat mefer bebeger v'avina mefer bebeger. Because the husband is able to annul his wife's Nedarim even as she's an adult. Meaning, but as an adult being married to him, so any neder that she makes is going to be subject to his approval. So as a bogeris, she makes a neder, so, and she's married to a man, the husband has the right now either to certify or to annul the neder. On the other hand, the father, his right to certify or annul the neder continue only to the point of bagrus. Meaning, if she's not married by bagrus, can you imagine, 12 and a half years of age and she's not married already? Okay, and it's hard for us to relate, but that's how it used to be. So 12 and a half years, and she's not married, now she's a bogeres. So now the halacha is that, that's it, her father no longer has the ability. She's no longer under the domain of the father, and the father has no longer the ability to annul any of her nedarim. So in that regard, the husband's power is stronger than that of the father. Husband, no age limit. Father, age limit of 12 and a half. Going back to the Rambam one more time, just, I'd say last time, but who knows. But going back to the Rambam one more time, so the Mishnah over here, interestingly enough, lays out once again a difficulty for the Rambam. We talked about this Rambam a couple times already. Let's talk about it again right now. And that is, the Rambam writes that we know we're going to be spending the last parak of a Masech for learning together when we get to the 11th parak, that a husband can only annul the nedarim of his wife only when those neder are either under the category of inui nefesh, or it's under the category of dvarim shebeino levena, things that provide for her affliction, or things that affect their marriage, their interpersonal relationship. However, what about the father's right to annul the neder of his daughter? So, as I pointed out already, the Gemara and the Mishnah never say anything about that. So the Ron taught us a couple days ago, it's the same as the husband. Just like the husband only has the right to annul inu nefesh and dvarim shebeino levena, so the Ron says, and he bases it on other sources, not the Talmud Bavli, but on a Sifrei and on a Yerushalmi, the Ron says that the same thing is true regarding the father. That the father can annul only those things which are inu nefesh and dvarim shebeino levena. So the Rambam writes that the last chapter of Hilchas Nedarim, so the Rambam says, no, that the father's ability to annul his daughter's vows exceed that of the husband. The husband is limited in terms of only being able to annul the two categories. The Rambam writes that when it comes to the father can annul all nedarim of his daughter, and not just the two categories. And now, and I pointed out yesterday over Shabbos that that even while the Rambam was alive, people challenged the Rambam on this point. The Chachmei Lunil wrote a letter to the Rambam. So the Rambam caught flack for his opinion. However, one of the things, however, we could raise against the opinion of the Rambam is this Mishnah right over here, because this Mishnah is the basic point of this Mishnah is, let's compare and contrast, that sometimes the husband's power exceeds that of the father. Sometimes the father's power exceeds that of the husband. And you'll notice what the Mishnah doesn't include over here. What does the Mishnah not include in terms of powers that the father has that exceeds that of the husband? What, according to the Rambam, what the Mishnah really should be writing is, the father can annul all vows, and the husband can only annul the vows that are dvarim shebeino levena and the dvarim of inui nefesh. And the Mishnah doesn't write that. So one of the questions that's posed against the Rambam is, how come the Mishnah doesn't include that as things that the father's power exceeds that of the husband? Good. So, again, correct. And again, you could absolutely defend the position of the Rambam. Just in other words, get more to consider, more to think about in terms of the opinion of the Rambam. Okay, my time, Adam Akra. So again, the first point in the Mishnah is that when the father dies, so the I'm sorry, sorry, the I'm sorry. Right. The Mishnah says that when the father dies, so it doesn't go to the doesn't go to the husband. So my time and damakra benura beisavia. So the Torah goes on to describe that when she is a nara in the house of her father, meis habal misrokin reshosa av minalan. Now, if the father, if the husband dies, the husband's ability of annulment goes back, is reverted back to the father. How do we know that? Amar Rabba, Amar Kra, v'im hayosia leish unedarel la'alaha. So what we refer to this as section 2. Remember going back to the beginning of the perek? So we learned the psukim and the chumash. We broke up the parsha of Hafara into three different sections. Section 1, she's a single living in her father's home. Section 3, she's married. So what was section 2? So you remember we talked about this in the beginning of the perek. Torah is not exceedingly clear. One approach that we learned is that the second section is Nara Marasa. She's in between, literally in between. She is, on one hand, still a daughter of her father. On the other hand, now she went through Erusin with a man. So, Im Hayosi Aleish and Nadare Allah, if she's married to a man and she has Nadarim, Mekish Kod Mehavaya Shnia, Le Kod Mehavaya Rishona. So, the Torah over here is indicating that there is not just one Havaya, but there are two Havayas. Meaning, strange scenario, but she's married twice. So, Ma Kod Me Havaya Rishona Av Me For Lechudei. Now, prior to her first marriage, so who was empowered to annul her Nidarim? Answer? Dad. Av Kod Me Havaya Shnia. Now, what if there's a second marriage? Now, the only way there's going to be a second marriage is either there was a death or divorce of the first husband. Again, husband over here means arusa, or let me say it grammatically correct, an arus, meaning because if she went through nisuin, that severs her relationship between her and her husband. Sorry, between her and her father. Got to get everyone straight over here. So the so we're now talking about a second marriage, or a second arus, I should say. So just like before, prior to the first arus, dad was the sole proprietor of the her nedarim. So too before her second arus, meaning that the first arus either died or divorced her. And now we're between husband one and husband two. So just like before husband number one, dad was the sole proprietor, so too, before husband number two, or to put it in other words, after the death or divorce of husband number one, dad now becomes the sole proprietor. Same thing. Which means, of course, that after the death or divorce of husband number one, all rights of annulment revert back to the father. So, Havayishnei Av Mei for Lechudei. So, Eim Ahani Mila Ben Adam Shalom Nira La'arus. Av Av Ben Adam Shalom Nira La'arus Lamatli Mei for Av. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe that's only specific to the Nedarim that weren't given, that weren't said while she was with her betrothed. But what the Gemara is suggesting now is that Nedarim that were made with her and her betrothed, maybe that those Nedarim do not revert back to dad. Even Nedarim Shalom Nira La'arus Mibenu Rabbe Savia Nafka. So the Gemara says, no, I already know that. The Torah is very clear that if she made a neder prior to her betrothment to this man, so that neder is subject to the annulment of the father. That's already clear. That's already stated clearly. The Torah is trying to express a chiddush. What is the chiddush? That even if she made a neder during her erusin, and then on that very day, remember, everything is on the clock. So the only scenario is going to be where, you know, the marriage or the death or divorce occurred that day. But within that day, if there was a death or there was a divorce, so then all rights of annulment revert back to the father, and the father gains the sole proprietary right to annul the neder of his daughter.
Didn't we say they had a partnership? So what happened to the partnership?
What happens to the partnership is that he's a junior partner, he's a senior partner, so his portion goes back to the father.
But before we said it's nobody can annul it.
Well,
no.
In other words, what we've said before is that if the husband was Mekayim prior to his death, so then forget it. So then that's it. So he has his partnership allows him to be Mekayim the Neder. But if he hears it and he didn't respond, and then he dies, so then he had a right to do something, but he didn't actualize that right. So then it goes back to the father, and the father now has the sole proprietary right. If I were to reverse that, however, which is what we talked about the other day, if let's say the father died, so then the husband does not gain the right of the father. So in this regard, the father's right is stronger than that of the husband. So the Gemara says, so let's get this straight. So let's say she was Mekadosh while she was a Nara, and then she becomes a Bogeris. So the Gemara says, Michti, Misa Motzio Bagras Motzio Mirshutav. So Ma Misa Lonisrak Mirshutzabal, A Bagras Lonisrak Mirshutzabal. So the Gemara says, now remember, Bagras, when she becomes a Bogeris, that also is going to terminate her relationship with her father. Not relationship, but in other words, the father's jurisdiction. That the father no longer has proprietary rights over her nedarim. So the Gemara says, so just like death, it doesn't transfer over. So too by Bagras, so it's not going to transfer over to the husband. So Ella Shekisha Kishi Bogeris. So the Gemara says it must be that the Kedusha must have occurred when she was a Begeris. So the Gemara says, okay, if she was Mekudeshes while she was a Begeris, so the Gemara says, that's coming up. Meaning, we're going to see that in the Mishnah a couple days from now. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah that we're going to see a couple days from now. So, now, before the Gemara finishes even quoting the Mishnah, so the Gemara, sometimes the Gemara can't help itself. Meaning, right, here's the Mishnah. You see, we already have this idea of a woman getting married while she's a Bogeris. So and as a Bogeris, she already has been severed from her father, etc., etc. But here we're quoting the Mishnah, and the Gemara says, "Just wait 1 second." Hagufakasha, meaning before I even entertain the question of why would the Mishnah be repeating the same point twice, just that Mishnah by itself, I'm not following. The Mishnah is talking about a Bogeris who waits 12 months. So Hagufakasha, Amarta Bogeris Shasha Shnei Masar Chodesh. Now, remember what we learned all the way back in the beginning of Ksuvos, day one of Ksuvos, and that is when a woman becomes a Mekudesha, she goes through Erusin. So basically what happens is that 12 months come and go, and after 12 months come and go, then she gets married. That's the general waiting period for a woman after her Erusin. However, as a Bogeres, so 30 days. 30 days becomes the standard waiting period when a Bogeres gets when a Bogeres becomes betrothed. So, so the Gemara says so. Bogeres doesn't typically wait 12 months. So Tani Bogeres Ushishas Ayud Beis Chodesh. So the Gemara says, okay, as far as that Mishnah, which we're gonna make the same point a couple days from now, as far as that Mishnah is concerned, we're gonna have to add a Vav. It's a Bulgaris and someone who waited 12 months. Okay, anyway. Mikamakam Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, but and now that we clarify that Mishnah, let's get back to our issue. And our issue is, why would the Mishnah be repeating the same point twice? So Ibai Sema Hachadavka Ubo Geris Ketani. Hasa Mishum Debai. Mishum Debai Yiflig Revelaz of Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, look, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is telling us that when she's a Bogeres, she no longer is under the jurisdiction of her father. And so therefore, at that point in time, their husband has sole proprietary rights over that neder. That's our Mishnah, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. As far as the Mishnah later on is concerned, so the Mishnah later on is coming to tell us another point. Meaning, yes, Bogeres is mentioned in that Mishnah, but not to teach us the point of Bogeres. That's what we're learning in our Mishnah. The Mishnah later on is going to tell us the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Stay tuned, come back 2 days from now, and we're going to learn together the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Okay, that's number one. Ibai Sema, Bageras Dafka, Ba'aydin, and Nasiv Reisha Bazeh, Nasiv Seif Anami Bazeh. Or the Gemara says that no, that really over there, that's where the halacha Bageras is coming to be taught. But over here, as long as we had a Reisha to our Mishnah, we wanted a Seif to our Mishnah. Meaning in the Reisha, we wanted a case where the father's rights exceeds that of the husband. So we also want an example where the husband's rights exceed that of the father. But, and it's true that our Mishnah mentions Bogeris, but only so that there'd be symmetry to our Mishnah. And as far as the Mishnah later on is concerned, there, that's where the Mishnah discusses the halachas regarding a bogeris. Okay, so let's just quickly sum up. So today, on Daf Ayin, a series of questions of, basically, how do we view a temporary kiyum, where the husband or the father hears a neder and certifies it, but certifies it for a temporary period of time. Let's say he certifies it for a day. Let's say he certifies it for an hour. Is that considered a blanket certification? Or is he, by virtue of the fact that he only is certifying it for an hour, is he giving himself the opportunity afterwards to be made for the neder? Essentially, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. As far as the next mission is concerned, a comparison, a contrast between the power of the father versus the power of the husband regarding hafaras nedarim. On one hand, the father's power exceeds that of the husband, where if the husband dies, he will revert to being the sole proprietor of that neder. The opposite is not true. If the father dies, the husband, does not become the sole proprietor of the neder. On the other hand, the husband's abilities exceed that of the father, because the husband has no limitation, no age limit. Meanwhile, the father can only annul his daughter's nedarim only up to the point of bagrus. Gemara cites Psukim, how we know this. And then the Gemara just addresses the issue of, this issue of bagrus is coming up on the Mishnah 9 Gimel. Why would our Mishnah need to mention it also? And the Gemara gave a couple of answers to that question as well.